Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pod Strickland. I'm your host, Schwinny Pooh. This is episode 125. Today, I am joined by absolutely nobody. We will be having the normal pod with me and Prez and another guest. That's just dropping tomorrow. But a couple of things. I just wanted to get off my chest, so I thought I would go solo and give you a little bonus pod on Monday. So you have a little knick-knack for your commutes to work and such. All right. Well, look, I think we all know what the major story of the NBA was this weekend. On Saturday night, Rolling Stone, I believe his name is Matt Sullivan, he dropped a piece about the difficulties that the NBA is having working with the NBA Players Association to get everybody vaccinated. And central to this discussion, central to this kind of battle to get everybody vaccinated, is one Kyrie Irving. He is a interesting person, to say the least. Not a huge fan of his. Great player. But consistently, he just chooses to be an oddball. And it's funny because a lot of people have taken up his cause celebre over the last, few years. Because, to his credit, he does do a lot of very, very, notably charitable things. And things that are genuinely, good. Like, he has donated a lot to women's basketball. Like, time and money and effort. Like, he's put in a lot, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. I know he's also done a lot for Native American rights, and he's been active. I believe he's part Native American, so I think that's been something that's been kind of close to him in many ways. But we really cannot, like, that does not excuse his stance on this issue. And look, like, let's just talk about it, because in the piece, and this is not the first person who has mentioned this. Yaron Weitzman also mentioned last week, or reported last week, that Kyrie Irving is not vaccinated. In this piece, there are, loads of just spectacular quotes from notably his aunt, but also just, stories, I guess, in a lot of ways about Kyrie Irving and how he's handled the vaccine in a lot of ways. I don't really know how else to put it, but like, if he's not vaccinated, then it is a absolute joke. This guy is he is a vice president of the NBA Players Association. He's on the executive committee, so he is a leader within the NBA Players Association. This idea that he just wants more answers and he needs more, it's bullshit. I'm sorry, it's fucking bullshit. We've all been sitting around for the last 18 fucking months dealing with this pandemic, okay? And over that time, there's been plenty of research done to indicate that, yes, the vaccine that has dropped, it has a positive impact on avoiding people becoming seriously ill with the coronavirus. Does it stop you from getting infected? No, that's not how it works. And the fact that people still refuse to get this into their heads is either absolute, like, just stupidity, like you're incapable of understanding the concept, or it's sheer negligence and selfishness and narcissism to believe that because you read some fucking shit on Reddit and, you went through the whole fucking subreddit and saw everything. Like, I'm sorry, you're not a fucking scientist. And you're not, your opinion is fucking irrelevant to what medical experts are saying. And if you're, and here's the other thing. If your concern is they're putting like a microchip into your body, as at least was hinted at in the piece. I don't even know where to start with that, because that's like, you know, that's downright stupid. And you're supposed to be a leader for the Players Association. I'm sorry, that's just like, there's a different, like, I can't respect that. Like, he can, like, all the great things he's done, he deserves credit for that. And he's gotten credit for that from certain people. Are there people that ignore that shit? Are there people that don't care about it? Yes, there are. And that sucks, but that's, like, the reality of life. You know, you're not always going to get credit for the good things you do. And unfortunately, sadly, most of the time, people focus more on the stupid shit you do. I like to believe that I try to balance both. I'm sure I'm wrong about that. But in this instance, I can't accept it. I'm sorry. I cannot accept any more people who want to sit around and fucking try to tell me about why I don't care. I don't care about your reasons for not getting the vaccine. Because people are dying from this shit. And if you look at all the ER data and all that shit, the biggest issue that's happening now is not, yes, people with the vaccine still get COVID cases. But guess what? The people who are actually still dying from it are people that are not vaccinated. And, you know, do we know what the long-term impact of the vaccine is? No, we don't. We don't know that. But we also don't know what the, like, shout out Deuce McBride, Miles McBride, who made this exact point on his Instagram, but we also don't know what the long-term impact of COVID is necessarily. We have a much better idea of that, though, currently, than people that have the vaccine. Also, the vaccine is not FDA approved, so it's not just this experimental thing that you're taking a leap of faith on. I am just baffled by this notion, and I think it is extremely ridiculous for somebody in Kyrie Irving's position, who has access to the best medical professionals in the world, who has the money and the resources and the access to it, to pretend that he still doesn't have enough research, or because that he has valid reason to not take it, because neither is true. And he has more freedom, he has more time, he has more resources to get that information than people like me, or you, most likely, if you're listening to this. I reject that idea, and I think it's a bullshit fucking cop-out that people want to give him. I think if you're still sitting around trying to defend Kyrie Irving in this instance, and if you want to fucking play the game, what if he's vaccinated? What if they got it wrong? Okay, well then, why can't he just say that? He can just say that, right? He's allowed to just be like, oh yeah, actually, I'm fucking vaccinated. And guess what would happen? We'd all be like, good job. I mean, it would still be, you got vaccinated because you got fucking bullied into it, because you can't play fucking home games if you're not vaccinated, because public pressure is piling up and everybody's shitting on you, and that's why you probably got it. But at least you get it. I'd be happy. Cool. Great. Let's move on with our lives. I can still shit on you because you play for the Nets, but at least I don't have to shit on you for being a fucking anti-vaccine scumbag. And that's just what it is for me. And here's the other thing is, if he is vaccinated, great. He can tell us. The fact that he's let this fester, and that this reporting is out there, and all this stuff, and he's just not said anything, he won't respond to it, to me, that's dangerous in its own way, and it's bullshit in its own way, because here's the thing, he signed up for a leadership position within the Players Association. I think that makes him, in a lot of ways, he needs to be more responsible than your average player. Jonathan Isaac is a fucking weirdo, okay? I don't he's in this piece too. If he wants to hide behind, you know, whatever bullshit platitudes of, I don't know, whatever he wants to fucking hide behind, you know, his religious beliefs or whatever the fuck, none of which, to my knowledge, should overrule getting a fucking vaccine. If he wants to do that, that's up to him. Fuck him. But he's also not part of the leadership committee of the NBA Players Association. Kyrie Irving is. So for him to let this fester, to let people believe that, you know, he's not vaccinated, that he's actually not of the belief of the vaccine. He also had that stupid ass tweet last week about, oh, like, I'm living mask free, blah, 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 whatever bullshit he said. And you know, of course, he tried to do his fake woke. Oh, this isn't about the vaccine. This is about living your life and being your true self and blah blah. It's like, you know, the fucking kind of wisdom you get from a motherfucking fortune cookie or some shit. But you know, I just think that like when you're in that position that he's in, you have to be better than the. You have to be more knowledgeable, and you have to have more consideration for what your stances are, what your opinions are, what the things you're expressing are, because you're in a leadership position. You have to be a lot more careful, and you have to be a lot more knowledgeable, and you have to be a lot more reasonable. And nothing about his stance on this particular issue, from what I've read and what I've gathered, is reasonable. You know, I don't even understand some of the things that his aunt, who's quoted in the piece at various points, are saying. I really don't. And I mean, I could read
some of them for you. But I don't. I mean, I don't even want to, because they're absolutely ridiculous. If you want to read them, if you want to see what she said, if you haven't read it yet, just, you know, check out the piece on Rolling Stone. I mean, look, the parts, I mean, the stuff about him apparently liking Instagram posts about secret societies and how implanting vaccines into a plot to connect black people to a master computer for a plan, quote, a plan of Satan. This is, to be fair, this is just kind of a hearsay portion of the article, but would it surprise you, Kyrie Irving? Would it surprise me? And that's really what is concerning to me. And it's not so much if he wants to fucking not get vaccinated, like that's his thing. But when you are signed, like the rules of the league and the rules of the city you play in, you don't control that. And the NBA doesn't control what New York City wants to do or what San Francisco wants to do, which is something Andrew Wiggins, also an unvaccinated player, is dealing with. He applied for a religious exemption and was not granted it. And as things stand, if he doesn't get the vaccine, he will not be allowed to play in home games. Weirdly, he'll be allowed to play in road games, and particularly because there's a stupid-ass out-of-state exemption, he would be allowed to play in road games in New York against Brooklyn and the Knicks. Funny enough, also Kyrie Irving would be allowed to play in a road game against Golden State, even if he is not vaccinated. I don't know. I don't know why this exception exists in some ways. Exemption exists in some ways, but it does. So I just look. I just think that at times, like, what are we? What exactly is he doing here? And you know, there are people that are still trying to like defend it. And oh well, you know, if he is vaccinated, then everybody's gonna look stupid. There's a rush to judgment. We don't know yet. But again, if he has the power to simply stand up and be like, hey, I am vaccinated, actually. And me, personally, a person who loves to do nothing but shit on media who jump to conclusions and get things wrong, potentially as I'm doing myself here, that would be a great thing for him. Like, I really don't understand the point of, if you're vaccinated, why would you not tell it? Why would you not say that? And why would you let this kind of negative myth of sorts continue to persist about you and around you? The part of the story that actually really, really, I think was disturbing for me. Kyrie Irving made a trip to South Dakota last month. He pulled up to a schoolyard at a Sioux reservation. And he had enrolled for his tribal ID. So I guess, yeah, he's part Sioux. Inside the school, this is what it says in the piece. Inside the school, Irving met with two high schoolers in a conference room for close talk about COVID and kicks, shoes. While twisting a cloth mask in his hands, he took photos in a basketball gym where all student athletes over 12 have been required to get vaccinated for the coronavirus to play sports, and where on this Wednesday afternoon in late August, Irving was playing by his own rules. Pretty much everyone had a mask on, says the mother of one student in attendance. Everyone but Kyrie, everywhere he went. I'm sorry, but like, however, if he doesn't want to be vaccinated, if he doesn't want to wear a mask anymore and all that type of shit, cool. That's his right as a person, individual in this country. When you go to something like that, where those precautions are being taken and they're mandatory and they're being, to kind of dismiss it in that manner, and really know that like they're not probably going to say anything to you because of your celebrity status, is a bit disturbing, and that just speaks to like narcissism and selfishness to me. I'm sorry, I Kyrie Irving is, again, human beings are complex. He's not entirely bad, he's not entirely good necessarily, but in this fucking instance, he's being a shithead, and it is okay to call him out on that, and it's okay to be critical of him that, and I don't, you know, I saw fucking Free Darko, who is now at Free Darko, Nathaniel Friedman on Twitter. You know, he had this entire moronic thread he posted yesterday, just fucking white knighting for Kyrie Irving. You know, look, you don't need to do that in this instance. You can, when somebody is wrong, it's okay to just say they're fucking wrong and not try to find the reason why actually, well, actually, they're not, no, well, actually, go fuck yourself, okay? But enough about Kyrie Irving. I also want to talk about another guy who has been in the news this week, the last few weeks, this entire offseason, Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons reportedly told teammates who were going to fly out to LA to come visit him and, you know, try to, Joel Embiid being among them, to try to, you know, get him back on board with the team. We need you, Ben. We're the best with you. We still believe in you. All this, you know, they're probably going to go there and just fucking praise him to the heavens. He told them not to come out because he's done with this team. He's done with Philadelphia. He's done with the 76ers. He wants to get out. He apparently does not want to play in front of the fans anymore there. And, man, I got to say, that guy is just the absolute worst. And the fact that there's still people fucking, oh, you know, making, you know, they didn't do a good job of, I've seen that they didn't do a good job building around him. What do you mean they didn't do a good job building around him? Oh, they got to build around him like Giannis. He's got to be Giannis. Do people understand what it is to be Giannis? Like, do we really want to talk about this? Like, we can talk about it because I don't think people really fathom what the difference is between somebody like Ben Simmons and Giannis Antetokounmpo, because it's massive, okay? It's not just, you know, I mean, yes, broadly speaking, they are freakishly large human beings who can handle the ball in the open court and get downhill and attack the rim, and just are forces of nature. But the forces of nature they are very drastically, okay? Drastically, because Ben Simmons has never been anywhere close to the scorer that Giannis is. And don't give me the fucking, oh, well, Joel Embiid. Oh, so Ben Simmons can't score because Joel Embiid exists? That does not, no, I'm sorry. That's just the difference between being, this is what Giannis has averaged the last 4 years, okay? Starting age 23 to age 26. 26.9, 27.7, 29.5, 28.1. This is what Ben Simmons has averaged. Every year he's been in the NBA the last 4 years. 15.8, 16.9, 16.4, 14.3. The difference between these guys is not simply just that one has the team built around him and one has to play with Joel Embiid. And, you know, look, this idea that they haven't built around Ben Simmons is fucking, it's a nonsense. It's bullshit. Okay? He gets to play with arguably the best big man in basketball, second best, third best, however you want to fucking parse it, an elite superstar big man. Okay? That's who he gets to play with. He also gets to play with multiple high-level shooters, especially this past season. No excuses for this past season. He gets to play with Seth Curry, Danny Green, Tobias Harris. That's as spread as the floor is going to get for you, okay? It's as good as you're going to get without being the five yourself and playing four out around you. And, like, why, in what world has he earned that? In what world has he earned the right for the, any organization, but in this case the 76ers, to be like, you know what, we just need to go all in on building around Ben Simmons, and we're just going to play him at the five. And like, no. And do we know he wants to play the five? Are we sure? Do we know that he wants, even for stretches, are we sure that, because I've seen, oh, well, they should at least try that for stretches. Okay, maybe I agree they should. But do we even, look at Ben Simmons right now. He's upset about a lot of things, and as soon as he gets upset, he throws a fucking hissy fit and a temper tantrum, and he wants out. And he started a hissy fit and a temper tantrum before, and they got rid of Jimmy Butler for him, because he didn't want to play with Jimmy Butler anymore. So I'm not convinced, one, that he'd be particularly thrilled about playing a center at all. And this idea, again, Gilbert Arenas and, you know, fucking Matt Barnes are out there in a pod, or whatever, the no-chill pod that Gilbert Arenas says. They were talking like, yeah, they gotta use him like Giannis. He's gotta be Giannis. Like, I don't know, really, I still do not think people understand what Giannis did this year. Everybody knows Giannis wants to go inside and score inside. Guess what he shot at the rim this year? 83.7% from 0 to 3 feet, according to Basketball Reference. 83.7%. That is ludicrous. There's what Ben Simmons shot from 0 to 3 feet. 68.7%. Really good. Really, really good. Don't get me wrong. Very good. Very good finisher. Doesn't do it a whole lot, though, because he's just not shooting that much. Like, he does not have really comparable usage to somebody like Giannis. Can you up his usage to the level Giannis has been at over his career? Like, the last 4 years, 31.2. usage, 32.3 usage, 37.5, 32.5 this past year. Ben Simmons, last 4 years, 22.3, 22.1, 20.9, 20.2. He's actually gone down every single year he's been in the league. And the efficiency gap is monstrous. It's not comparable, especially when you adjust for efficiency. Ben Simmons, I mean, he's been over 62 shooting once in his career. Giannis has been above 60 considerably the last 3 seasons, and that's at much higher usage. The gap is massive between these two guys. It is not the same. It is not the same. And if you want to say Ben Simmons he's a better natural playmaker, I agree. But when the scoring gap is what it is, and then it's not even worth discussing. And that's before we even get into the sheer, you know, willingness. The willingness to do these things. Are you willing to take shots? Are you willing to constantly get after it and be held responsible when and if the team fails? Are you willing to do those things? And Ben Simmons has not shown that. I mean, look, here's his usage in the playoffs the last 3 years, or the 3 times he's been in the playoffs. But he was injured in 2019-20 when the Sixers won to the playoffs in the bubble. Here we go. 22.1 in 2017-18, 16.6, and 16.5 this past season. Okay? That's his usage the last three years. Here's Giannis' playoff usage in the last 4 seasons. 28.2, 32.2, 35.2, 31.8. Like, they're not even playing the same role or close to it. Giannis is the best player on a title team. He is the 2-time MVP. He's a defensive player of the year. He is, I don't even know how many first-team All-NBAs he's made at this point. He literally, if he retires today, he's a Hall of Famer. And you can put his resume up and say, you can make a case right now. And I don't say this lately. You can make a case right now he's one of the 10 best players of all time. Based on his resume, based on what he's achieved, and he's just 26 years old. He just played his 6th year in the NBA. Like, and he missed the 2015-16 season. But he just played, so 6 of 7 seasons he's played, and his resume is what it is. It is all-time great stuff that he's done already. He's 5-time All-NBA and a 5-time All-Star, 4-time All-Defense. You know, he made the All-Rookie Team, All-Star MVP, Finals MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, again, 2-time MVP, Most Improved in 2016-17. He's an NBA champ. Like, he has done... He has literally achieved every accolade you can achieve already at the age of 26. And theoretically, he's just in the middle of his prime years right now. Ben Simmons is not close. He's not anywhere close to this type of player. And the reason I bring that up is because that is the way he is discussed. And that's how he handles himself. And at some point, we need to recalibrate that, I think. And we just need to really consider, what are we talking about here? Who are we talking about here? And do they even deserve to be discussed in this fashion? I don't think so. And I don't understand. I really don't understand the debate about it. Like, oh, did the Sixers do him wrong? I mean, I don't think so. I really don't think so. Like, for the most of his career, he's been prioritized, to use a stronger word, he's been coddled by the organization, right? They didn't tell him to figure it out. When Jimmy Butler was a free agent and they had to make a choice, they were like, okay, well, if you don't want Jimmy, then we'll just have to move on. It's a pretty big fucking choice they made in his favor. It's a pretty big fucking choice they made, especially when you consider that the next season, Jimmy Butler led the Miami Heat to the Eastern Conference, NBA Finals. Granted, it was in the bubble. I don't think that was necessarily the strongest proof of, one of the strongest competitive level of basketball I've ever seen. We'll just leave it at that. But I think undoubtedly the 76ers would have been a better team than Jimmy Butler than what they ended up doing, which was signing Al Horford. And also, you know, they traded Jimmy Butler for Josh Richardson, and Josh Richardson fucking sucks. Credit to Daryl Morey for flipping him into Seth Curry, but I mean, Josh Richardson is just not that good of a player. He's fine. He's all right. But I mean, if that's your main piece in return for Jimmy Butler, and you did that because Ben Simmons didn't want him there, I don't know, man. I think that's a hell of a lot of coddling that you're doing. It's a hell of a lot of the organization prioritizing you over necessarily what is the best team we can put out to potentially contend. They chose to make your ass happy. Is it great that Doc said what he said publicly after this, after they lost that playoff series, or what Joel said? No, it's not. They shouldn't have said that publicly. Were they right? Yeah, probably, but they shouldn't have said it. You don't say that shit. And I can understand him being upset about that, but upset to the point where you're not even going to go, you're not even considering coming back, you're holding out, you're making this whole fucking drama about it. I think that's bullshit. I'm sorry, I do. And I don't think we need to, you know, this is not a player empowerment issue to me. Like, I don't like this idea that we don't need to make, I don't think this is about owners versus players. I don't think this is a ownership versus labor issue. And I think trying to make it one, which I've seen several people do in defense of Ben Simmons, I think that's kind of bullshit. Like, I think that's actually taking away from what player empowerment was meant to be. I don't think player empowerment was meant to be, well, when you struggle in the playoffs and you shit the bed and, you know, finally the coach and your superstar teammate let out a little some frustration publicly, that you just mail it in and immediately demand a trade and we excuse it. That's not what it is. And not, mind you, he has 1 year into a 5-year max extension. Like, So now we're just saying none of this shit matters. Contracts don't matter anymore. And, like, yeah, you can play this fucking, you can tell me, like, oh, you know, it's the system sets it up this way because players, they don't get to choose where they play to start their careers. They get drafted, and then all the financial incentive is so stacked that you'd be stupid not to sign an extension with your team if you get offered one at a max contract. Yeah, I understand that. But, like, I mean, that's what the fucking money is for. Is it an ideal system? Is it a perfect system? Does it allow everybody to be the happiest they can be and play exactly where they want to play and live where they want to live? No, it's not. It's not. And yes, we can talk endlessly about ways to improve that, but as things stand, that is the system we have. And if he didn't want to deal with that, then he doesn't have to play. He doesn't have to play in the NBA. He can go to Europe and play if he wants to do that. But he wants to play in the NBA, and I understand that. Is that, and that sucks, that's part of the deal. If you want to play in the NBA, that you don't have full autonomy of your career. Once you sign a contract, the team has the ability to trade you, move you, bench you, whatever they want to do. They have the ability to do that. And sure, that sucks, and I understand that. But like again, that is literally what the money is for. You're not talking about a guy who's making fucking 200 grand a year, even, which by the way would be a great salary, phenomenal salary. If you're making 200 grand a year, you're doing great for yourself. You're not talking about like your average 9-to-5 worker here. Talk about a guy who's making like $30 million this season, who's already got enough money guaranteed coming to him to set himself and future generations of his family up for life. That's what we're talking about here. So, you know, I don't turn this into some fucking labor issue, and not just trying to make it in, you know, trying to kind of fold it into a more like the kind of labor issues that teachers unions face and stuff like that. I'm sorry, that's bullshit. Auto workers, stuff like that. It's fucking bullshit. It's actually, you know, it's insulting to them. It's insulting to those people who actually, you know, have genuine gripes at a high level with ownership over their salaries or contracts or how they're treated at work and all this kind of shit. Because Ben Simmons is not being, he's not getting mistreated to that level of work. I'm sorry, I just got no sympathy for this guy. And I'm so fucking sick and tired of, like, every excuse that people want to give him and so many other stars when they just don't deliver. You know, like, it is okay to just say, the guy fucked up. The guy fucked up in his Hawks series. He fucked up against Toronto in 2019, and he fucked up against Boston in 2018. Right? Like, he's fucked up in these playoff series. It's okay to say that. You can still like him as a player. You can still believe in him as a player. But I promise you, nobody that believes in him as a player believes in him because they're like, well, he's just good enough to get us to the second round, and after that, he'll be useless. No. The belief that most people who still support him have is, well, if we get him in the right place, in the right scenario, and build around him the right way, and all this kind of shit, then we will unlock this level of, like, a player who can take us to a championship. Maybe they're right. Maybe they are right. Maybe that's true. It's why I've never made much of a secret about, like, why I don't like Ben Simmons, but I do think that a lot of teams should take the gamble with him because the talent is there. Like, he does have God-given gifts and ability at a size and, you know, all the stuff he can do on defense. He has all these things that are worth gambling on, especially for a smaller market team that doesn't have access to that caliber of talent frequently. I would absolutely suggest a team gamble on him, you know, like an Indiana or a Sacramento or a Cleveland or whatever. I think teams like that definitely should gamble on him. But they're gambling on him precisely because they're making a bet that he can turn into this, you know, whatever, superstar guy who can lead you to a championship. And maybe they're right. Like I said, maybe they're right. But he isn't that guy now. And he deserves to be criticized for it. And, like, but we can't, like, if you can't criticize him for what he just did in the playoffs, then what are we talking about? What are we even doing here? So I find the Ben Simmons discussion so bizarre to me because I don't think anybody is saying that he's a bad player. As much as I don't like him, I would never say Ben Simmons is a bad player. But when you have Joel Embiid and you fancy yourself a title contender, the limitations he's demonstrated at, you know, look, we're not even talking about the top end of the playoffs yet. They haven't even gotten through to a conference finals or a finals. We're talking about a second round series. The limitations he's shown when he's gone into a hole and he just can't get out of his own way offensively, and he's basically hiding in the dunker spot. He's basically an invisible man. He's deferring to Tyrese Maxey in a Game 6 elimination game on the road against the Hawks. Tyrese Maxey came up big, so shout out to him. But, like, I mean, when you see that, if I'm paying guy max contract, he can't go into, you know, witness protection at key moments of playoff series. He just can't. And, like, yeah, I mean, look, yeah, oh, well, then you're still a plus, like, you're still a net plus when he's on the floor in that series. Like, okay, but your superstar is supposed to be more than a net plus. Like, you're supposed to own those minutes. You're supposed to win them big. I'm pretty sure in the regular season against the Hawks, they destroyed them. You know, they destroyed them. They crushed them. And at various points of the series, they crushed them, but they couldn't hold on to major leads. And a big reason was Ben Simmons. Like, he did not play up to par. And he's not played up to par at the same stage of the playoffs against multiple different opponents 3 times in his career so far. And yeah, he's young. He's, you know, he's, what, 25 years old, I think. He's entering his age 25 season anyway. Like, I understand that. You know, I get it. He is 25. He just turned 25 in July. But, like, he's not, I mean, again, he's not that young to the point where you're like, we're not talking about a 21, 22-year-old who's still figuring out his way in the league. This is a guy who's been in the league now for, you know, fucking 6 years. This is entering his sixth season now. I just, to me, like, at some point, if you're not doing it, then maybe you just don't have that level in you. And that's okay. But then he has to buy into a totally different role, and we don't know if he wants to play the role. Is there evidence that he would just play, like, again, I've seen many people suggest he should play this Draymond type of role, and I actually agree with that. He should play that type of role. But do we know that he wants to play that role? Is there any indication that he would? I haven't seen it. Not once have I seen it or heard it. And I don't think, though he's carrying himself asking for this trade demand, and, you know, I don't think that's what he wants. I think he wants to be the guy, the primary ball handler somewhere, and do his Magic Johnson, LeBron James routine impression, whatever. So, you know, that is what it is. Anyway, I'm going to call it on the solo pod. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I will have the my RJ Barrett preview, season preview is done. I'm not sure when it'll be dropped, but hopefully soon. The Knicks have media day coming up tomorrow. We are recording, or sorry, today, actually, I should say, on Monday. The Knicks are having their media day. And I got to say that I'm pretty fucking excited for it. Also, we do have a big announcement coming up this week, so stay tuned for that. It'll involve, obviously, Strickland, but it's going to be a big one, and I'm excited to tell everybody. The normal episode of Pod Strickland, the Monday one, will instead be dropping on Tuesday. That'll be with me and Perez and a very special guest. Should be a fun episode. I'm excited for it. And, that's what we got today. So I hope everybody has a very good Monday and has a very good rest of the week.